could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. You won't read that book again, because the ending just too hard to take.
Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, it's a fascinating evening as we talk about ESP, and this hour we will give you an ESP test. So make sure you got pen, pencil, paper handy. We'll be doing that this hour. Next hour we'll open up the phone lines as well. We'll be back in a moment with the guests and authors of the book, The Gift, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And this is Coast to Coast AM with our guests, Michael Schmicker and Dr. Sally Ryan Feather, as we talk about ESP. Sally, what types of ESP are out there? You talked about, what, several, four possible categories?
Well, telepathy, we already mentioned clairvoyance or remote viewing, as we call it now, or precognition, that's the third. Those are the three types of ESP. There is a fourth category, which we our book didn't get into, and that would be the psychokinesis cases.
The ability to move things, exactly.
Yeah.
Uri Geller does that, for example.
Right, yeah. We're saving that for another book.
Well, I tell you, they're all very powerful, and... do you know, did your father ever talk about the government practicing this? Now, we know they had special programs set up for remote viewing. We know that for a fact.
Yes.
But did they do some other things, too, do you know?
Actually, way back in 1952, they approached him, and my father helped a little bit with collaborating some work the Navy did. They were trying to get dogs to find hidden mines or hidden objects that might be dangerous. And they worked a little bit with that at that time. But that was the end of the work that the Duke Lab had to do with the government. Everything else with the Stargate program, which you've just referred to, was done later with other people and is detailed in our book in some ways. And Mike is a very good, can explain some of that very well.
All right, talk about that, Michael, and then let's get into some of these real-life stories, if we can, and cases.
Okay, thanks, George. One thing, by the way, great bumper music there. I don't know who selected that, but that was outstanding. That was
well,
funny.
I'd like to say that was me, but it's not. It's my engineer Dan did that one.
Well,
however,
Dan,
he was probably reading my mind.
That was a great music. You've had many people, because we've listened to you a long time, you've had many people on your show that have talked about remote viewing, so my guess is that your audience is quite familiar with the concept of remote viewing. Just in brief, we mention it in the book. Again, our book is primarily about spontaneous ESP, things that happen to you whether you want it to happen or not. And, of course, remote viewing is an actual where you go out and you seek to have an ESP or clairvoyant experience. So we touch on it. We cover it in some ways, but we also realize that there's some outstanding books out there. In fact, one of the people on the Ryan Research Center's Board of Advisors is Joe McMonigal.
Okay.
Has he been on your show?
I think he's been on the program before.
Yeah, he he wrote a book, Stargate Chronicles, Memoirs of a Psychic Spy. I think he's explained that. But if anybody doesn't know about it, what happened was that from about 1975 to 1995, the U.S. government ran a psychic spying program that was based originally on some research done at Stanford Research Institute. And it was run and used successfully, according to a number of people who were involved in it, for a variety of operational objectives, including trying to find a Soviet bomber that went down in Zaire, trying to find a general that had been kidnapped by the Red Army, I think it was, the Red Brigade in Italy, looking for Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, all sorts of assignments by all sorts of agencies, the CIA, the Army, the Navy, I believe the Air Force, Defense Intelligence Agency, all of them used, many of them used at some time, these psychic remote viewers. And in 1995, they declassified the fact that the program existed. What they didn't declassify was some of the operational exploits of these remote viewers. And I think it's Ed May who mentioned that, in the end he said, there's all sorts of stories and all sorts of exploits that have not been disclosed to the public yet, that they're still classified. But the program itself was declassified in 1995.
What is it that that is out there that allows people to tap into this matrix? I've always called it, Michael, the wireless matrix, where everybody is already connected. We're all connected to each other. You are to me, Sally is to you, and we all have an ability to communicate with each other if we just knew how to get on that wave. And that's the secret.
You know, I think it's being approached by from two ways and quite successfully. One way, of course, is the Eastern way, through meditation and through self-discipline. I think that's one way where people are learning the skills to do this type of thing. And the other is, I think that we're making some great progress. Ed Mitchell, who you mentioned earlier, the astronaut, has a whole theory of how in the quantum field is what we're all linked together by. And that, in fact, it may be that the connection that all of us have together is at the quantum level. So I think that people are approaching it from two ways. One, from the Oriental way of let's train ourselves using mind control and using meditation and inward-looking philosophies and techniques. And from the West, we're looking at it from what are we finding out that's happening at the quantum level that we might be able to explain why we're all in connection with each other.
Sally, your views on what this might be, this matrix?
Well, I would go to maybe a third idea. It's a combination of the two, that this is reflects some sort of biological ability, psychological and biological, whereby we connect with each other. That society, through all cultures and all religions, has depended upon other people. Where are we if we're not part of a group? We're really so this ability keeps us connected. It keeps us close. That's a kind of a field. But it also, I guess the Eastern world may know that as well, that we depend upon each other, and this is a good example. Actually, it's the basis for underlying many of the concepts of religion. We won't get into all that, but we feel that this work, if anything, it encourages a belief in one's taking care of one's fellow man and in the deep interconnectedness.
I'm going to give you both headlines from your book on some of the stories, and then you can fill in the gap as to what they were. Tell me a little bit about the teenager from Connecticut who had a brush with a serial killer.
I guess I'll do that one, George, because my folks still live in Connecticut. What happened was that I got an email from a man in Mystic, Connecticut, and he's an engineer. He's a very successful engineer, and he said, I understand you're writing this book. I want to share a story with you. And the story that came out was that he had a niece, a teenager named Cynthia, who lived in Connecticut, who was a lot of trouble with her parents. She was, I think, 15 or 16 at the time. She was running with the wrong crowd. She was with bikers and people had druggies and people like that that were not good for her. And one day she was hitchhiking home, and she got picked up by a man who was very well dressed and who told her that he was an insurance agent. And he asked her out for a date. And when she came home, she told her parents. Her parents were quite excited because this was the exact type of person that you'd want your daughter, right, to go out with, you know. Get away from those bikers and that and go out with a nice insurance agent. And so what happened was that she accepted the date. The guy came to her house. He sat down in the living room with the parents. The parents were talking with him. They were very impressed with him. Very nice guy, very well-spoken, very well-dressed, you know, mild type of person. And the daughter was getting ready. She walked out of her room, walking down the hall to finish her freshening up for this date. She took one look at him as she passed by the doorway and went back to her room and locked her room.
And locked her room?
Locked her door. And so after about 10 minutes, the parents are still waiting for her to come out. They start knocking on the door and what's going on? Are you ready yet? And she said, I'm not coming out. And they said, you got to be crazy. This man's sitting in your living room. You've accepted a date. You have to come out, and you're going to have to go with this man because you've accepted this date. She said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And she said, but then the parents said, according to this man, the parents said, well, come out and tell the man himself why you're not going to go on the date. She walked out the door. She looked the guy in the eye, and she said, there's something terribly evil about you. She walked back in. She locked the door. The parents were embarrassed. The man didn't say anything. He just, you know, said, okay, he left and goodbye. And what happened was, a year later, the parents were looking in the newspaper, and they saw a picture of the guy who was in their room, the insurance man. And the insurance man was Michael B. Ross, the serial killer who is now on death row in Connecticut for killing 8 women. I believe it's 8 women. And who's, I mean, what a, you know, she trusted her instinct. You know, it's hard to, you know, how much was instinct, how much was intuition, but the net of it is she saw something terribly evil in the man. She trusted it. She locked her door, which she had never done before in her life, and she avoided death.
What an incredible story. And equally so, he had a year to come back and try to do something to her, and he didn't do that, so she was fortunate there too.
Yeah, I had some email and conversation with the parents, doing a little follow up, because again, we don't claim that these stories are absolute proof. We didn't go out and interview in great detail and check every fact and things like that. They were screened by a psychologist, Sally, and we looked for a lot of detail and things like that. And in this case, I know the man very well. Actually, the man who sent the case. So I followed up a bit, and there were a lot of questions. I mean, how did she know? Why did she know? What did she see him? And I think his point was that this was something that's a good example of intuition. It's one of those. It's one of the ways we get ESP, and we'll talk about that in a minute, I'm sure.
Well, and again, was this just her picking this up, or was he somehow transmitting something, and she got on his wavelength, like that radio show that we put out, if you're on the right frequency, you pick up coast to coast. I wonder if somehow he was broadcasting, and she picked it up.
Boy, George, I wish we knew. That's a great question. The fortunate thing for them and their daughter is that whether he was sending it or she was picking it up or what, she saved her life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a parent's nightmare.
What a great story. And I mean, and that's indicative of the stories in the book. What about the little child who saw a dead bicyclist? That's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Sally, you want me to go through that one again?
Yeah, you can go through that one, too.
Sorry, some of these Sally's worked on and some of I worked on.
Okay.
You know, so we know a little more. That one's another great one. And what happened was that there was a lady in a traffic jam. And she had a four-year-old son called Danny in the back of the car. And we changed the names of people to protect their identity, but we know who they are. And Danny and his mom were in this car. They're driving down the street in this major city in the east, and they get in a traffic jam. And suddenly, Danny, from the back of the car, asks his mom, Mom, why does that lady have blood on her? And the mom can't see anyone anywhere around. And she said, you know, Danny, what are you talking about? And he said, Mom, outside the window right next to me, the lady has a bike helmet on. She's bleeding from her head. And so the mother couldn't see anybody, and she didn't know what to think about it, obviously.
Yeah.
It's very strange. I mean, what do you say if your son says that? You know, what do you say if a four-year-old boy
and you,
says
and
that?
You look around like, you know, am I missing this? You know,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
My,
what,
yeah.
What, you know, what's happening?
Where is she? Yeah.
And so what happened was that they finally got, they kept driving along this congested street, and they finally got to the accident scene, and they didn't know what had happened, but they knew that there was an accident. That's why there was a traffic jam. There had been an accident, and there was an ambulance there and that, but they couldn't see what had gone wrong or what. But the next day, the woman gets her paper, and you can guess what happened. She opened the paper, and they found that a lady had been killed on a bike there a half an hour before they went by.
Chilling. And somehow the little boy saw the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to me, the amazing thing is, as you were saying and Sally said, you know, if you were an adult, you might say, I think I'm hallucinating.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a little kid, you say, hey, Mommy, there's somebody bleeding outside the car. I mean, you know, there's no embarrassment or fear of telling what you see. Sally, maybe you have some thoughts on that.
Well, years ago, I'm doing my show in St. Louis, my talk show, where I was just in St. Mm-hmm. Louis, and I got a call. We were talking about strange deaths and things like that, and I got a call from a emergency medical technician, and she told me that she was off duty, and she got to the scene of an accident. She was the only person there. It was a rural road, a person apparently thrown outside of his car. And, you know, he was there unconscious on the side of the road. She jumped out of her car. She ran up to this person who was flat on his back, bleeding and unconscious, and she's holding him. There's nobody around. Michael and Sally, she looks over her shoulder and sees a guy standing on the side of the road looking at them. And she's screaming at him. You know, this is the era of cell phones.
Right.
Please call somebody. Call 911. Get some help fast. This person is dying. She goes back and looks at the person she's holding. He dies. She looks back. The other person is gone, realizes that was him.
Wow.
Oh, the spirit sort of...
George, you've got to send these stories.
Yeah. You have to write these up. And
We would like the Coast reader, Coast listeners to know that, you know, if they send it to sally@rhine.org, that we're trying to build up this database of 14,000 cases, and everyone that's sent in helps us get a better handle on explaining ESP, and boy, that's a great one.
Oh, I mean, we keep getting them, too. I mean, I had a police officer called Coast to Coast. He and his partner were called to the scene of a house for a heart attack victim, and they knocked on the door. An old man opens the door. They see another old man lying on the floor. He's dead. They turn around. The guy who lets them in was the old man who was dead.
Oh, man.
I mean, these are incredible, and they happen all the time.
That's the point. They happen all the time. And, again, that's why I'm so annoyed if science doesn't take this seriously.
All right, and our book is full of these cases quite similar to yours and other ones. Just remarkable. I think of all of them, they add up, and I get them daily, but I would like to even get more of certain kinds like this.
Can you tell us about the Vietnam War soldier in about a minute and a half, or should
yes.
we wait until the break? You can do that? Okay.
I'll do that one quickly. We would put out an appeal for more stories because of Army, because we knew that we were missing some with World War II. But instead, we got this really remarkable one from a woman who's probably now about 45. She remembers back when she was 5 years old. She says, I can't remember anything else about being 5 years, but I do remember this experience. She woke up in the middle of the night. She and her family had moved from this country over to Italy after her father went into the Vietnam War because they were from Italy. And she woke up in the middle of the night to see her father standing in the doorway in full Army gear. She said she was so excited she was ready to rush and hug him. And he said, wait, honey, tell your mother I'm shot in the shoulder and I'm waiting for help. Don't be scared. Tell your mother. She started crying and ran to tell her mother, woke everybody up. They were all upset and worried. And the next day, in those days, it wasn't email, so they had to wait for the Red Cross. It was the only way of getting any information. And they did find out that he was missing in action. It took 3 days later, and before they found this father, he was alive and he lived to an old age. But at that moment of his being terribly wounded, he appeared to his daughter.
That
halfway
is exciting.
Across the world.
Let's take the ESP test when we come back. What do people need now, Sally? What should they get?
A piece of paper and a pencil, and you're going to, Mike's going to give them the other information.
And I'm going to take the test too, and then everyone, you can send me your results back by fast blast. That way we'll be able to get some instantaneous results on this ESP test. We'll do that in a second. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up now for Streamlink, now with podcasting. Get it today at coasttocoastam.com. Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, live from somewhere deep below the earth on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, let's keep it up, sponsoring Children International. Thank you very much, and we are halfway home now on our expanded goal of sponsoring 500 children. If you can afford $18 a month, please do so by going to the coasttocoastam.com website. On the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see a flashing yellow banner. Click that. That'll take you right to their website, and you can sponsor a child. Many families are living at $40, $50, $100 a month. That's it, total. And your investment of 60 cents a day will provide a needy child with food, clothing, health care, and also the beginning of an education and so much more. And you can also call this toll-free number that I promised you. Those of you who don't have computers, that's 800-869-9863. That's 800-869-9863. And you know, Michael and Sally, when they did the movie The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis, they may have tapped into the Rand Research Center's things, because that bicycle scene was in there as well. I think that's where they got some of their great stories, to tell you the truth. How do we do this ESPN, the ESP test? I almost said ESPN test.
Okay, George, first thing, I do think Sally wants to give a little warning here that, of course, this is not a scientific test. Sally, you want to mention a couple things before we're going to do a test, but it's not
Right. Yeah. One of the difficulties when you have a large group is you have something that statisticians call a stacking effect. I won't mention any of the symbols now, because if I mention one of them, that might clue people to use that particular symbol.
Okay.
But there is a tendency to. So we don't take a group test like this as proof of anything, but it's great for demonstration. It also gives people an idea of how they can test themselves later in the privacy of their own home, when they feel like it, in the mood, and so forth. That's the best way of testing yourself. When you're put on stage, there are not too many people that really, really do well when the light is shining on them. But, of course, George, we think you may be the exception.
Oh, thanks a lot. Should we disclaim this also by saying kids don't do this at home, or does that matter?
It's very, very safe, and all the kids who are staying up late can do it.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Well, here's what we'll do, George, okay?
Yep.
First, I'd like everybody, including yourself, to write the numbers 1 to 25 on a piece of paper, okay?
Just put them all down there sequentially.
Okay. Right, because we're going to have, you're going to have 25 chances to guess the right card, or to intuit, I should say, the right card. Okay, so everybody puts down
17, 18,
out there on the
19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. All right, I'm probably a little faster than some. So I've written across on this piece of paper, I've written all the numbers on this one page, from 1 to 25.
Okay.
All right.
Now, in the olden days, they used a deck of cards called ESP cards, or Zener cards, and we're using those tonight. And Zener cards, or ESP cards, have five symbols. Okay, so you're going to have to write down these five symbols so you remember what these symbols are when you intuit, okay?
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
One is a circle.
Okay.
Two is a square.
Okay.
Three is a cross.
Okay.
Four is a star.
Okay.
And five is wavy lines.
Wavy lines.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is I'm going to try and send to your million listeners out there, and particularly to you, if I'm the sender. We'll see whether I'm a good sender or you're a good receiver. None of the above. I'm going to try and send. I'm going to look at the card. I'm going to look at it for 3 or 4 seconds. Then I'm going to put it face down and move on to the next card.
Okay, what are you going to try to send me, though, a number or a symbol?
One of these five symbols.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to clear my mind. I found in doing some of these, Michael, that you have to clear your mind first, because your mind just pulls in things from all over the place.
Right.
So I'm going to try to just, like, create a blackboard effect on my head.
That's okay. Great, George.
Right.
That's great.
And you do what you do. Go ahead.
Okay, and we're just going to turn them over, and I'm going to say next. Normally you wouldn't do that, but I'm going to say next. Every time I turn one over and look at it and turn it down, I'm going to say next.
And so what am I doing, though, during each next?
What you're going to do is I'm going to say first card, and then you're going to try and get ESP and tell me what card I just turned over.
So we're going to do this all these 25 cards?
Right. We're going to do it every 5 seconds, so it's not time to think. It's
so,
just doing to it.
And what am I doing? I'm drawing one of these five symbols
right.
Under 1, 2, 3, 4,
right.
Five, all the way across.
Exactly.
Right.
So when I turn over the first card, you're gonna try and intuit, is that a circle, a square, a cross, a star, or wavy line?
Okay, so you tell me then when you've flipped the first card.
Right.
Right?
And then at the end, when we're all done with 25, we're going to score them.
Okay. All right.
Okay, are you ready?
Here we go. I'm ready.
Everybody
here
in the audience ready, I hope?
We're all ready.
That was it. That was a million people just shouting.
Yep. Here we go. The first one, go.
Okay.
Next card. Next card. Number three.
Okay.
Number four.
Okay.
Number five.
Okay.
Number six.
Okay.
Number seven.
Okay.
Number eight.
Okay.
Number nine.
Okay.
Number ten.
All right.
11.
This is live radio, everybody. Okay.
12. You can see how good you are, George.
Okay.
13.
I'm a little nervous here, Michael.
Okay. 14.
You're doing fine, George.
Yeah, Sally can probably see my answers.
15. Don't think about them. Just whatever you're into it.
Okay.
16.
Some of these are massive duplication, but that's okay.
17.
Okay.
18.
Okay.
19.
Okay.
20. Almost done.
Five more to go.
Yep. 21. 22. 23.
Okay.
24.
Okay.
25.
Okay.
Okay, you ready, George?
Yep.
Okay, here's the answers. By the way, don't feel bad if you don't do too well. The average of 25, I think, what is it, Sally? 5 of 25 is chance.
All right, and I'll just check off the ones that are right.
Right, you check off the ones that are right.
It'll be easier for me to see.
Right, what you want to see is if you've got more than 5, that might suggest ESP. Below that, not. Okay,
all
ready?
Right. And everybody, you can fast blast me your total number whenever this is done, and that way I can relate that back to Michael and Sally.
And boy,
okay.
Anybody out there that got 25, we'd love to know about it. Okay. Ready? First one, square.
Okay.
Second one, cross.
Okay.
Third one, wavy line.
Okay.
Fourth one, star.
Okay.
Fifth, wavy line.
Okay.
Sixth, square.
Okay.
Seven, circle.
Okay.
Eight, circle.
Okay.
9, star.
Mm-hmm.
10, square.
Okay.
11, star.
Okay.
12, wavy line.
Right.
13, star.
Mm-hmm.
14, circle.
Okay.
15, circle.
Okay.
16, cross.
Okay.
17, cross.
Okay.
18, cross. I must not shuffle well, but anyway.
Hmm.
19, star.
Okay.
20, square.
Okay.
21, wavy line.
Okay.
22, wavy line.
Right.
23, square.
Mm-hmm.
24, cross.
Okay.
And 25, circle.
Okay.
George, how'd you do?
I got 2 right.
2, okay.
Well, George, I only got 3.
Listen, I got 2 right, but strangely, I might have like 7 or 8 right. I was 1 off on every one that you were doing.
Uh-huh. Like, wow, Sally, there's a term for that, right?
Yeah, it's called displacement.
See, when you would say wavy, wavy, I had like square, then wavy, wavy. You know, so I was 1 away from you, or I would have had 7 or 8 of these things.
Wow. Sally, right, maybe explain that.
Yeah, so what does that mean? I mean, so close, but so far.
Yeah, there have been controlled experiments. There has been found occasionally to be something called displacement. And I can't go into it anymore now at this point in time, but it has been, that's the name for it.
Where you actually, you're actually 1 off. I mean, if you had moved the whole thing up 1 or 2, you would get quite a few right. Is that
it's
right?
It's as if you were impatient or you were guessing ahead, looking in the future, if it was going in that direction.
Well, see, and I was trying sometimes to anticipate the card even before you turned it.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can do that, can you?
Yes, you can. That's another test called precognition. We'll test you for that another time.
So but 2 out of 25 would consider me what? A low IQ? What?
Not related to intelligence. No, actually, we find something called psi missing. If you consistently, over enough trials, scored very low like that, that would be as interesting. But usually under when there's a little anxiety or, in fact, we find psi missing when people come to perform and they claim ahead of time that they're going to do pretty well, then they usually do the opposite. You didn't make any claims, so that's not your reason. But
let's do 10 more. Can you do 10 more, Michael?
Sure,
now that I know how this works,
yep.
and when you we'll just do 10, and then let's see what they are, and try me one more time.
Shuffle them good, Mike.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and shuffle them again. George, this is not a true test of your
shuffling
ESP, so don't feel one way or the other. This is really a demonstration of how they were, you know.
I'm not going to quit my day job, though.
Please, okay.
Or my night job.
Okay, you ready? I'm going to turn 10.
I'm ready, go.
Okay, let me just do one more shuffle, because I want to make sure I don't give you the same thing again here. We need that's why they moved, as Sally can tell you, to all sorts of, random generators and things like that. Because these things, who knows if you're shuffling, you know, that. You ready?
Ready.
Okay? First one.
Okay.
Second one. I'm not even going to allow you to think.
Okay.
Third one.
Okay.
Fourth one.
Okay.
Fifth one.
Okay.
Sixth one.
Okay.
Seventh one.
Okay.
Eighth one.
Okay.
Ninth one.
Okay.
Tenth.
Okay, let's see how we do.
And looking at how these are, I don't think I shuffle them well, but I'm going to call it what they are. You ready?
Yep.
Star.
Okay.
Wavy line.
Okay.
Wavy line.
Okay.
Star. Square. Star. Cross, circle, wavy line, circle.
I got four right.
Wow. Out of 10?
Four out of 10, yep.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I would have had five right, but I changed my answer on my first one.
Let us hope for you, George.
So if I didn't change that, I would have had 50%. Now, how was that categorized?
Good.
That'd be
very good.
Very good. Yeah,
you may have it. It's just that maybe when we did it faster, also you didn't have time to think too, right?
Well, I was honestly trying to figure out exactly how to do it, and I was trying to say to myself when I had all these 25 numbers down, if I was to write the name circle or just do the symbol, and I was seeing I was thinking too much.
Yeah, thinking.
And but you know, I'd love to find out. I'd be curious it's not a true scientific test, but I'd be curious to find out from your fast blasts if there's anybody out there that, of course, we can't prove.
Well,
it,
here we go. Let me go through it right now because they're coming in.
Oh, they are. Great.
Yep. I'm just going to give you the numbers that they say they got out of 25, okay?
Okay.
7, 8, 4, 6, 8, 8, 9.
9, wow.
8, 8, 8, 8.
Jeez.
4, 7, 4, 6, 6, 7, 11,
wow.
5, 6, 10. 10. Let me refresh this. I should get about a handful more in here.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, some of them are.
Maybe
five,
we have a reporting
seven,
error. Maybe
five.
They don't report
here's,
if they only get one or two.
Here's 12, 8. And,
right.
And they're very honest people, by the way, that listen to the show.
Oh, yeah.
6, 4, 6, 6, 5. 3, 7, 6, 2, 5, 8, 7. So you got a lot of sevens and eights in there.
If you add this up, it would be statistically significant, my guess, just from hearing what you're saying. But we can't call it as a real test because we don't know if people like you or me, George, who got one or two or three, didn't just felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to report this. You know?
There's one person who said he got 47 right, so...
Yeah,
that's
the
duh. Well, that's pretty bad.
Okay, now, let's use my 50%. Well, here's one called Tom. He lives in Midwest City, Oklahoma. Said he got 22 right.
22?
I might send you his email.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll do that, as a
matter
of fact.
Okay, we can do a
I mean, if that's real, that's
pretty dramatic.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can retest him again and see if he's
I'm sure.
Being above board. I hope he is. He probably is. What does this mean, though, that if we get a high percentage of this right, what does that tell you?
Sally,
that we've got ESP, that we've got an ability to do this when we concentrate? I mean, I'm happy I got 50% on the second corner.
Oh, I think, all we can say is that it's encouraging, and this is the kind of thing that we're interested if people will do their own testing, and then maybe they'll tell us when and how they do the best, like in the morning, when they're what mood they're in. But we really want to learn. We don't have to prove this anymore. We want to learn more about when and how it happens and what kind of people are doing well at it, and et cetera. So it's more like the secondary facts are now more interesting.
George, in fact, as Sally was saying, the reason that they don't have to prove it anymore is, and there's a link on the giftesp.com website, and it gives some reading for skeptics.
Yeah.
And one of the studies it mentions that one of the papers we're encouraging people to look at is was called Future Telling, a Meta-Analysis of Forced Choice Precognition Experiments. Okay, it's a fancy name for precognition experiments, but it ran from, they took a look at 308 experiments, 50,000 people, 2 million sessions done between 1935 and 1987. And when they looked at all that data collectively, they conclusively eliminated the possibility that chance was the reason for this success. So that's the type of data that sits behind this little funny little experiment we just did. In the lab, they use statistics just like everybody does. Actuarial insurance companies and anybody uses statistics today the same way. There's laws of chance, and what it basically says is that it suggests that something other than chances is at work here.
It is. It is remarkable when it all clicks in, doesn't it?
Yeah. Congratulations on that. Yep. 5 of 10. That's pretty good, guys.
Well, and I think it would get better the more and more people. Yep. I mean, I could feel that it would get better.
Yep.
Right away.
And, well, that's pretty good already.
And you have a history of having psychic experiences, which is one of the things we found leads to good testing results, is if you have a history of it and you believe in it, too. That's the other thing.
This whole process was just to get to test me, wasn't it? You're in cahoots with my producers.
Got it.
I tell you what, when we come back, let's open up the phone lines. People, if they have questions, obviously can chat with you. But if they have some stories that you might want, we'll let them share that with you as well. Where do you get the book, by the way, The Gift?
Barnes & Noble, Borders. You can go to your favorite bookstore and ask them to order it. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, it's. We know it's in stock in all the Barnes, or has been in stock and has sold out in all the, because it just came out about a week ago. It's in all the Barnes & Noble, all the Borders stores, and it's also obviously on Amazon, or it's through our own website, either one of the websites, Sally's or mine. You can also get it.
Okay, and those websites linked up with your name on coasttocoastam.com. So we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your stories, your questions, right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.